We're going to turn in our Bible, turn to the Word of God now this morning, and turn in our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3, where Brother Tom was reading just a moment ago. And we're going to continue the series that we have been doing on the sufficient grace of God. And today, from 2 Peter chapter number 3, and some other passages of Scripture as well, I want you to make sure that you have your Bible ready to turn to some passages of Scripture today that we're going to look to. We're going to see the sufficient grace of God to mature spiritually. The sufficient grace of God to enable us to mature spiritually, to be the Christian that God wants us to be, to grow, to be more like Christ. I know I sing a song sometimes with our girls, and they really love this one. We talk about how if you neglect your Bible and you forget to pray, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Now, they like that song because when you're singing the song, you're going down and you're shrinking. And then you sing the second verse and you're all the way down to the ground now. They enjoy doing this during our God and I time, our family devotion time. But then we switch it around. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you start coming back up. I remember when we would sing that in my Christian school when I was growing up, we'd have chapel once a week. And we would sing that song, and we had so much fun in the middle of the pews, shrinking down and then growing back up. And so you would never want to sing that song if you had children already with an abundance of energy, because it would make it a whole lot worse. But sometimes we'll sing that with our girls, and they have a lot of fun singing it. God desires that we grow, doesn't He? And obviously, according to that song, one of the ways that we grow, and we'll talk about it a little bit today, is by reading our Bible and praying every day, spending time with God. It's going to help us to grow. But we're going to talk about God's sufficient grace when it comes to maturing spiritually. We talked a couple Sundays ago about God's sufficient grace from the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, where Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." When he had that prayer request of that thorn in the flesh that he had, and then God changed his prayer request, didn't he? Because he came to realize that no matter what he went through, God's grace was going to be sufficient. And then we preached last Sunday about God's grace being sufficient for salvation. A decision to trust Christ as Savior and come to know Him as our Savior. But then after we've trusted Christ as our Savior, the grace that God gives us to mature spiritually. And so let's just for now look at the very end of the passage that Brother Tom read there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. And notice what it says here. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now this verse pictures spiritual maturity, growing in grace, being able to submit to the help provided by the Lord. Aren't you glad that God provides help for us to grow as a Christian? He doesn't leave you on your own. Kind of like a parent when they give birth, a mother when she gives birth to a child, a baby, certainly wouldn't leave that baby on its own, would she? She would want to provide help for that baby to be able to grow. And so that's exactly what the Lord does to us. He provides help, but we've got to submit to that help, don't we? And here's what we have to understand about the grace that God gives us to grow. It's not by our personal effort that we're growing, but it comes through God. And that's why I love what he says here in verse 18, "But grow in grace." But grow in grace, in grace. His grace enables us and helps us to grow. He provides the strength that we need to grow again to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Now, in our Christian lives, we should never get to the place where we're content to remain at our present level of spiritual development. Every single one of us should get to a place where we would say, in our heart and in our mind, "I want to grow even more. I want to grow in my, to be a strong Christian, to mature when it comes to spiritual things." And so never get to the place, not one of us would be able to sit here today and say it would be okay for us to be content at our present level of spiritual development, but instead constantly desiring to take that next step, to move on to the next level of drawing even closer to the Lord than where we already are. It reminds me of another song that we sing sometimes with young people, that song that says, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." That process is never done, is it? He's constantly helping you to mature and to grow to be the Christian that He wants you to be. And so we ought to desire to take that next step. We ought to desire to go to that next level, to draw even closer to the Lord. Now, an illustration that I wanted to give you, or I don't know if it's an illustration as much as it is something to ask you to think about or to consider this morning. I want to ask you to consider in your heart never to get to the place where your spiritual maturity is compared to other Christians, and look at other Christians and compare yourself to them and get to the place where you say, "Well, I'm just fine. Because if I compare myself to them, well, I'm just as good as they are. And so I don't need any spiritual growth." God doesn't desire that we look at the spiritual condition of somebody else, compare ourselves to them, and say, "Well, I'm just as good as they are, so I don't know that I have room for any spiritual growth." Or we could even go further than that and look at the spiritual walk of somebody else and say, in our pride, "Well, I'm much better than they are. And so because I'm much better than they are in a spirit of pride, I don't have any reason to grow." Comparison with other Christians is not the way to determine your level of spiritual growth. God doesn't want us to compare ourselves to others when it comes to our spiritual growth. So human beings, other Christians around us, shouldn't be the spiritual measuring stick. But instead, let's use God's standard as the measuring stick. And what would God's standard be? God's standard would be His Word, wouldn't it? So not to look at other Christians and say, "Well, I'm just as good as them," or perhaps even above them in your prideful spirit. "I'm above them spiritually. There's no room for me to grow." But instead, to measure our growth by God's standard, which is His Word. Now, we should be desiring to grow, to know the Lord better and His purpose and His plan for our life. And so I'm going to help us as we look at this passage and some other scriptures today to see some things that we ought to determine when it comes to our spiritual maturity. Number one, I want us to notice this morning. Number one, I want us to notice the examples of growing in grace. The examples of growing in grace. We're going to take two examples of people in the Bible that we could say were examples for us of growing in grace, or growing when it came to spiritual maturity. And we're going to narrow those down to the two examples right here in this passage that we're looking at. First of all, let's talk about the man who wrote this book that we're looking from today. The spiritual maturity and the growth that needed to take place in the life of Peter. Peter writes 2 Peter chapter number 3 here, the chapter that we're reading from. And certainly when we study out the life of Peter, we know that Peter had need of growing. But hold on, let's not get so quick that we would say that we all have need of growing, don't we? But Peter had need of growing, and growth was evidenced in the life of Peter by changes that we can see in his life. One of the changes that took place as far as an example to us of spiritual maturity and growth was even the calling of God in his life. Peter was a fisherman, wasn't he? And remember, there's a passage of Scripture that we could go back to in the Gospels where Jesus called Peter and he said to him, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And what does the Bible say that Peter did? The Bible says that Peter dropped everything that was his occupation. And he made a decision to become a fisher of men and leave his occupation as a fisherman. God is helping him to see growth in his life. And maybe perhaps in the way that God has called you, He enabled you to see growth. He enables you to see growth. But then I want us real quickly, and we're going to turn here, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter number 3, but I want us to turn really quickly to Matthew chapter number 21, I'm sorry, chapter 16, and I want us to see another moment of growth in the life of Peter when he confesses Christ. Notice Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse number 13, and notice it says here, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi," this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, "He asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And in verse number 16, Simon Peter speaks up, doesn't he? And the Bible says, Simon Peter says in verse number 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter confesses Christ, doesn't he? But if you'll look down at verse number 21, you'll see a time in which Peter needed some growth. Look at what verse number 21 says. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So he starts to discuss what is going to take place in his life to those who are gathered there, his disciples, as they listen. It says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And notice what Jesus says to Peter. He says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He says, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter didn't like the thought of what would happen to Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you would go later in the Gospels, the book of John, and we're not going to take the time to turn there, but if you look at John chapter number 18, you know that Peter even made a step there, even in the garden, to try to prevent what was going to take place in Jesus' life when he drew his sword. Do you remember what happened with Peter there? And he cut off the ear of the servant there, the high priest. He cut off the ear. And remember, Jesus, he reached down and he put that ear back on. He didn't desire that what was happening to him in the garden be stopped, did he? He wanted to die on the cross for us, didn't he? And so he made that statement to Peter there because Peter didn't like the thought of the things that were going to happen to Jesus. And Jesus says there in verse number 23, get thee behind me, Satan. It was as if Peter was doing the work of Satan and tempting him to violate God's direct command. I must be about my Father's business. Remember what the Lord said? This is God's desire for me. But then later on in Peter's life, he also makes another choice that helps us to see his need of spiritual growth. Now we see these men, we see these disciples of the Lord, and we also, and as we look at them, we want to acknowledge that if they had moments in which they needed some spiritual maturity, and they needed some spiritual growth, we certainly would say the same is true of us, wouldn't we? Peter gets to the place the night before Jesus is going to be crucified, and he gets to the place where he denies the fact that he will deny Jesus. He declares, I won't deny you, even though Jesus has already told him, you'll do it three times. And Peter declares, I won't deny you. And that night we know that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. We would turn to John chapter 21. We won't take the time to turn there now. But we could turn to John chapter 21 and we see a moment of restoration in the life of Peter, don't we? Peter says, I go a-fishing. Going to try to return back to what he was doing. And Jesus now begins to have a conversation with Peter. And his relationship is restored. Remember the statement that Jesus made, do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Well, later on in Acts chapter number 2, if you would go to the book of Acts, we won't look there right now. But this man who was the denier of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes that great preacher on the day of Pentecost, doesn't he? God uses him in a great way because what do we know took place in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 souls that came to know Christ and were baptized and were added to the church. That denier of the Lord had now become a great preacher on the day of Pentecost. We start to see the process in Peter's life of growth. But if we were in 2 Peter chapter number 3, where we were when we started, we also notice another man that's mentioned in this passage that Brother Tom read. If you would look back up to verse number 15 that Brother Tom started with there, it said, even as our beloved brother Paul, the example of Paul when it comes to growth. Now, here's what we read in verse 15 and verse number 16. It says, the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother, Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Here's what Peter's saying there. He's saying of Peter, and he's saying of himself and of Paul as well, that we can put our confidence and we can put our confirmation in the Word of God. But we're seeing the life of Paul, and we know that Paul's growth was evidenced in the change that was made in his life as well. How he went from being a persecutor of Christians and then converted, and how God took that man and he changed his life. The spiritual growth that took place in the life of Paul as well. So we've seen some examples of growing in grace. And then number two, I want us to notice this morning the expectations of growing in grace. What can we expect when it comes to spiritually growing in grace and maturing? God wants us to grow, doesn't He? And in our lives, we ought to get to a place where we desire to grow. We ought to desire to become a strong Christian. We should be seeing growth in our life. We could use examples of things around us that grow. You think of a flower. You think of maybe a tree that would grow. Think of a garden. My wife and I tried a garden for the first time this year, and we're able to see the growth of that. Well, at least after we put a fence around it to eliminate the deer from eating all of it. But we're able to see some growth, and we're learning a lot of new things. Brother Rob's helped us along the way a little bit, and some others have given us some wisdom along the way, helping us to be able to see this garden grow. And we know the importance of things that are growing in the ground, the soil and the light source and the water that's needed. You think about how we're growing in our lives spiritually. We need to be on a good solid foundation, don't we? Just like that flower, just like that tree, just like that garden, that solid foundation is Jesus Christ, isn't it? We're building our life on Him, and the water and the light that's needed. We think about how important it is for us to get into the light of God's Word and allow it to speak to us and allow it to help us. But just the expectation of growing. How are we to grow? Well, let's just for a moment think about how we grow physically. And let that be an illustration to us of what we can expect to grow, of how we can expect to grow spiritually as well. First of all, number one, there's got to be a beginning to physical life, doesn't there? And then with that beginning point comes a maturity. Think about how a child is born from the womb of a mother, and how that a Christian begins life with birth, don't they? But they begin life not with the physical birth, what we talked about last week. They begin life with the spiritual birth, don't they? Remember what John chapter number 1 says. John chapter 1 verse number 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you would go to the next verse, John chapter 1 and verse number 13, it talks about how we are born of God. There's a spiritual birth that takes place, right? Just like physically speaking, we think of a child, how their life begins at a time of birth. John chapter 3, we won't take the time to look at that passage, but we know that's the story of Nicodemus and how Jesus said to him, ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There has to be a spiritual birth that takes place. You must be born again. Remember what we talked about last week, how the gospel separates when it comes to every other religion. We talked about how there's the religion of those that make a choice to say, I'm going to do something. And then we as Christians believe in what has already been done. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. The religious individuals are trying to reach up to God, but God says, hey, I'm reaching down to man, and I'll do the work for you. It's already been done. All you have to do is trust me. And if there would be somebody that's sitting here today that's never had a spiritual birth, that's where this spiritual maturing, this spiritual growth starts to take place. when you're born, just like a baby, physically born into this world, and then they start to mature. Then they start to grow. But it doesn't take place until they've had birth. And it's the same with a Christian. It starts at the moment we are born, but then what can we expect? Well, after birth, we can expect to start seeing growth, can't we? One of the things I used to always share with the young people when I would challenge them with the subject of spiritually growing in the Lord, when I would deal with this subject over with the children and with the teenagers, and probably even some of these guys that are sitting here that heard me teach these messages and lessons can remember this. I talked about how it would be very odd if a baby stayed that same size. You know, we would think that's a little different, isn't it? You know, if a baby grows up and it's starting to mature and it's starting to see some growth, but yet it's still drinking the bottle. You know, we would say that's a little different. That doesn't seem like it's right. And it's the same thing spiritually, isn't it? It's the same thing as a Christian. We ought to be seeing growth in our life. No growth equals no life, doesn't it? But when we're spiritually growing and we're spiritually maturing, it's because we have spiritual life. So real quickly, the expectation of growth. Let me real quickly share with you what growth is not. What growth is not. We wouldn't say that spiritual growth today meant that I'm becoming more saved than at the moment of salvation. I'm not growing to say I'm becoming more saved than the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. We wouldn't say that growth means I'm more forgiven than what I was at the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior. When He saved me, He forgave all my sins, didn't He? So I'm not growing into a point where I'm more saved or more forgiven or more justified or declared righteous in the sight of God than at the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And here's another thing we want to remember about growth. Growth doesn't mean that it's keeping us saved either. Just because I'm spiritually maturing, it doesn't mean that's my way of keeping myself saved. Or just because I'm maybe not perhaps spiritually maturing quite like I ought to be, it doesn't mean I've lost my salvation either. So spiritual growth doesn't keep me saved, and it doesn't make me more saved or more forgiven or more justified than at the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior. So what is spiritual growth then? Spiritual growth is getting to the place where we're learning more of what God desires and what He doesn't desire. I'm getting to a point where I'm realizing that. I'm getting to a point where I'm starting to learn that. And then it's not just learning it, it's moving on in spiritual growth to get to a place where I have an ability to do what I know I ought to do. And to stay away from that which I know God doesn't desire for my life. And I'm getting to the point where I'm able to resist. And I'm able to refuse, I'm able to reject, I'm able to remove myself from things that I know that God does not desire to be as a part of my life. We should be growing in things pertaining to the work of God, shouldn't we? We should be growing in the Word of God, just like we would physically. Physically, we want to make sure we're growing in a proper way. We want to make sure we're growing to be healthy. I know one of the things that was new to me when I started taking my daughters into the doctors for their regular checkups. And those of you who have had children, this obviously wouldn't be news to you. But I remember when I first started taking them in, I started to hear them talk about this growth chart or this growth scale. And hey, we want to make sure they're on this scale and they're growing like they ought to grow. Growing in a proper way. Hey, as Christians, we ought to be growing in a proper way. We ought to be growing spiritually in a proper way. We ought to be growing to be healthy spiritually. Our lives ought to become productive and beneficial spiritually for the work of the Lord. So we've seen some examples of growing in grace. We've seen the expectations. What can we expect when it comes to growing in the Lord? But number three, let's see the evidences of growing in grace. What are some evidences of the fact that I've been growing in grace? Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians with me? I want you to see some evidence of growing in grace. Number one, I want us to see this. When we're growing in grace, number one, there ought to be an increase. Number one, there ought to be an increase. I'm going to give you a couple things there ought to be an increase in when we're growing in grace. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 2 if you would, and we're going to notice verse number 12. Number one, we ought to be increasing in love. When we're growing in grace, there ought to be an increase. We ought to be increasing in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says this, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you. I'm sorry, I needed chapter 3, I apologize. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to, look what it says, increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. When we're growing in grace, there ought to be an increase. There ought to be an increase in love. But then look at 2 Thessalonians. We're right there in 1 Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So we ought to be growing in our love, one for another, right? We ought to be growing to love one another, to love the brethren, to love the lost. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at what verse number 3 says. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. What do we see in a picture here of a faith that's increasing? Our faith ought to increase. It should be that we have faith over fear. It should be that we're seeing our faith increase. We're learning to trust God more today than we did the day before. And our faith is growing. We're taking Him at His word. We've got a confidence in Him. We're growing in grace, and so our love has increased. Our faith has increased. Think about what we've been studying about on Wednesday nights. Our character will increase. What does the Bible say in the book of Galatians? There's a list of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't there? Fruit of the Spirit, and it gives the list of 9. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's a list of 9 character qualities that the Holy Spirit would desire to produce in our lives so that we can have Christ-like character. We ought to be increasing in our character. So what kind and quality of fruit are you producing in your life? Our character ought to be increasing. So what can we say as an evidence of growing in grace? Number one, an increase, but then number two, an investment. If I'm growing in grace, there's an investment. What is that investment in? That investment is in souls, isn't it? I've got a desire to see souls come to trust Christ as their Savior, and I want to invest in God's service as well. Hey, listen, when you start growing in grace, you'll start having more of a desire to invest yourself in souls. You'll start to have more of a desire to get involved in a place of service for the Lord. That's one of the good ways to see that you're growing in the Lord. You're desiring to serve Him. You want to have a place where you do something for the Lord and you're open to whatever it is that He would have for you to do. Lord, just use me. I want to be involved in your service. So number one, an increase that would evidence our growing in grace. Number two, an investment. But then number three, an influence. So we're increasing, we're investing, but then there's also an influence. Before a lost world, growing in grace helps us to be a good influence to a lost world and for the cause of Christ, a testimony of righteousness, a testimony of holy living. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because I'm growing in grace. There's a maturing that's taking place. There's now an influence to the lost world around me and for the cause of Christ of living in righteousness and having a holy life. If we're still doing the same things we used to do, then we're not growing in spiritual maturity like God wants us to. I don't do them anymore. We sing that song too, don't we? And then the fourth one this morning is this. We saw the examples of growing in grace and the expectation and the evidences of growing in grace. But then how about this number four, the enabling of growing in grace? What enables us to grow? What enables us to grow? Let's look back at the verse we started with, 2 Peter chapter number 3. And look at verse number 18 again. It tells us part of growing in grace. It says there's something else that we ought to be doing. Look, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What helps us? What enables us? What helps us? What means can we go to help enable us to grow in grace? Well, most importantly, we've got to go to the Bible. We've got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may what? They may grow thereby. We're growing in our knowledge of the Lord, and it's a continual thing, isn't it? It's an everyday thing, day by day. And the Word of God enables us to see this growth. And this growth takes place when we're willing to look at the Word of God and apply it to our lives and study out the Word of God and help ask God for His help to understand it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. I think you have your Bible open there. Look down to verse number 16. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. You know, sometimes people might make that phrase. They might say, well, the Bible's hard to understand. But listen, just because it's hard to understand doesn't give us an excuse for not studying it. You say, well, I just stopped reading the Bible because I just can't understand it. I've had people tell me that before. Well, I've just stopped reading the Bible because I can't understand it. Well, the more you read, obviously, the more you will be able to understand. And I think the great truth applies to that as well. The more you read, obviously, God begins to open your eyes, begins to reveal things to you. And just because we maybe say, I can't understand it, or I can't be able to know everything that God's trying to teach me in His Word, doesn't give us an excuse to stop reading it and stop studying it. We've got to put forth the effort, don't we? To study the Word of God and allow our knowledge of God through His Word to help us to know what He would have for us to do. And I truly believe with all my heart, as we put in the effort of studying God's Word, He's going to reward that effort, isn't He? Those of you that have made a habit in your life to read the Word of God, you know He has rewarded your effort of studying the Word of God and laboring to know it better. And God gets us to a place where He helps us to understand the truths in His Word. Look at verse number 17 even. It says, ye therefore, brethren, seeing ye know that these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Here's another great truth I believe about studying the Word of God. It'll keep us from error as well, won't it? It'll keep us from confusion. So what enables us to grow in the Lord? Number one, His Word. But here's another thing that enables us to grow in the Lord, the trials that we go through. The trials that we go through. Some people wouldn't look at trials that way. They wouldn't say, well, that's the way I'm going to grow. But according to James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Trials help us to grow. The good times of life help us to grow, and the bad times of life help us to grow as well. Then you know another way, place where we're going to find growth? In God's house. We're going to grow in God's Word. We're going to grow as we go through trials. But we'll find growth in God's house as well. That's why in the book of Hebrews it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We need to be in God's house. That's where we're going to be able to feed from God's Word. That's where we're going to be able to fellowship with believers. That's where we're going to be able to find a place where God can use us in His service. It all goes back to what we said about service. Part of growing is serving the Lord. And when you're in church, you're going to be able to be fed from His Word. You're going to be able to find sweet fellowship with God's people. And you're going to be able to find a place where you can serve God and God can use you. So let's put all this together and let's apply this to our lives with the last thought today. And it's this, the examining of growing in grace. We've seen some examples. We've seen some expectations. What can we expect when it comes to growing? What are some evidences of the fact that we're growing? What enables us to grow? But then, let's examine ourselves when it comes to growing in grace. Are you growing? Are you growing? Would you be able to look at your spiritual life right now and say you're growing? There's some spiritual maturing that's taking place. I'm strengthening myself spiritually. Growing is a sign of life, isn't it? It's a sign of the fact that we have spiritual life. Sometimes growing can be painful, can't it? You know, I think about the pains that sometimes my oldest daughter goes through. She's got a lot of pain sometimes. We'll talk to her about, hey, you're growing. You know, you're going through those growing pains. And sometimes as we grow, it can be a little painful. But I'll say this, it's always good, isn't it? When we're growing in the Lord, it's always a good thing. So are you growing in the Lord? But today, if your answer would be, I'm not. Well, if not, why not? If you're not growing in grace, God gives you His grace and His strength to help you to mature spiritually as a Christian. So why would it be that you would not be growing spiritually? Could it be that there's sin that's not repented of? Well, if that's the case, God has the answer for that, doesn't He? Just confess today. Confess today so that you can be growing spiritually. Maybe you could say, I'm just not growing because really there's just a lack of desire. I've just become content. Maybe it's because of what we said at the start of the message. You're looking at somebody else's life and you're saying, well, they look pretty, or I look pretty good compared to them. So I don't know that I really feel like I have a desire to see any more growth. Well, God has an answer when it comes to a lack of desire as well. Just pray and talk to Him. Ask Him for His help. And He'll help you to see that growth spiritually if there's a lack of desire. Maybe an apathy there. Maybe a contentment where you're not even desiring to see more growth in your life. Or you know what? It might be that you're not growing because you've never had a new birth. You've never come to know Christ as your Savior. And if that's the case, you can call on Him today. God has an answer for every reason that we could give as to why we're not growing. God has an answer. If it's sin, confess it. If it's no desire, just pray and talk to the Lord. Ask Him to give you that desire and His grace to strengthen you, to grow and to mature in Him. But if you've never been given new life, call on Him today. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today if you call on the Lord. But then what about the Christian that would say, you know, I am noticing spiritual growth. I am noticing spiritual maturity, and all of us ought to be seeing it all the time, shouldn't we? Continually, every day. And you say, I am noticing that spiritual growth. So what can I do to continue that? Just keep looking to Him. Keep looking to Him. Keep depending on Him for His help when it comes to growing in grace. So today I'd like to ask you to examine yourself when it comes to spiritual maturity. We've seen some examples of even Bible characters who needed to mature spiritually. We've seen some things that we can expect. We're not going to stay like a baby spiritually. We're not going to stay like a new Christian all the time. We can expect to be able to see some growth and then some evidences that will take place in our life. We talked about those evidences that we ought to see. And then we talked about what can enable us to grow. And we talked about His Word and the house of God and trials that we go through. But then the question to you, are you growing? Are you at a place where you're maturing spiritually today? God's grace is sufficient to enable us to see spiritual maturity in our life. And let it be that you're noticing that. You're seeing that in your life. You're maturing spiritually. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and ask you to close your eyes. And as you do,